We are in Missions Month, and that means every week we've been thinking a little bit more about both the missionaries that we support and also God's responsibility or call on us. I think to really to share His truth to the world. And I want to start off today with this this song, actually, called Facing a Task Unfinished. Does anyone know this song? Right. So this is an old song. It's a hymn, and it was written in like the 1930s, I think. And the guy who wrote it, Frank Houghton, he was working with China Inland Mission, which would eventually come OMF. And this song is actually also COCM's theme song. I don't know if you know that COCM has a theme song, but this is it. And we used to have to sing it all the time at COCM staff retreats. COCM is Chinese Overseas Christian Mission. I used to work with them. I still kind of work with them, but not really. This song, so the story behind this song is in March 1929, there were these missionaries in China. And there was the civil war that broke out in China. And so it became really difficult because actually some of the workers there were killed and others were had to just sent out. And China Inland Mission at this time, they felt like, okay, the persecution's getting worse. It's becoming more dangerous. But we need to raise up more workers to go to China. So they said, we want to send out 200 new missionaries to China in the next 3 years to raise up 200 new missionaries. Now, in our church, we talk about raising 700,000 pounds, trying to get £1 million, or trying to hire staff. And we've been praying about that, and I will say our faith wavers. Here, there's persecution going on in China, and their desire is, God, we know we need to send out more. 200. Can you help us raise up 200 people that will volunteer to move out to China? This is not China nowadays, okay? This is China a long time ago. This is in the heart of its communist kind of ideology. It's not a safe place. Back then, you weren't learning Chinese in your schools. You didn't know how to speak. You were just, in this case, probably mostly English people with a heart to go out there. And at the time, they said there were probably less than a quarter of a million Christians in China at that time. And nowadays, when we hear about Christians in China, we know that there's a big number. Of course, there's billions of people in China. So the director at the time, Reverend Aldous, said, this call of need, of urgency, has come for 200 men and women in 2 years, and it must be met. 200 men and women who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and who share God the Lord's passion for souls. Men and women who believe that the gospel of Christ is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. It's that call. Do you believe that this gospel, this truth, that the Bible that you read, do you believe that's true? Not just for yourself, but for everybody. It's hard for us to think about that sometimes because we think, well, no, those cultures can believe what they want to believe and our cultures can believe what we want to believe. But it's not about culture here. It's about the truth of Jesus. Actually, most of us, we heard it from someone else. Someone shared that message with us. And it stirred deep in our heart, didn't it? It made us realize there is something true here. There's something about Jesus which is different than everything else. This spurs us onward. So here they ask for 200 disciples and 200 missionaries to go out. And actually, by December 31st, 1931, 200 missionaries sailed out to China. Everything paid for. They had everything they needed. And part of it was, during this time is when Frank Houghton wrote this song, Facing a Task Unfinished. It's this. This is what we're called for. I don't mean being a missionary to China. But we're called to live and give Christ. And the reality is we don't realize that this task is unfinished. This is a world that is still so broken. I want to sing you this song, but I'm probably going to cry. But so if you can sing along with me, anyway, I'm going to need you to click past for each verse, Francis. But I always feel better when I'm at the piano. So, but I'm going to turn off all your effects to just make it piano. And I can probably speak without crying for now. But it has been a hard few months, years for myself. And this week, as I was singing this song, I was reminded of why I'm doing this. Why I'm a pastor, why I'm here in this country. So I will need you guys to sing it, because the words will kill me. They are so intense. So, and it's also going to be really high, so I'm going to transpose this down. Look at that. Smooth, non-awkward transition.
Facing a task unfinished that drives us to our knees, a need that undiminished rebukes our slothful knees. We who rejoice to know thee, renew before thy thy solemn pledge we owe thee, to go and make thee known. Where other lords beside thee hold their unhindered sway, where forces that defy thee defy thee still today, with none to heed their cry for life and love and life. Unnumbered souls are dying and pass into the night. We bear the torch that flame fell from the hands of lies proclaiming that Jesus died and rose. Ours is the same commission, the same glad message ours, fired by the same ambition, to thee we yield our hearts.
Shall we stand and sing the last verse?
O Father who sustain, O Spirit who inspire, Savior whose love constrained them to toil with zeal untied, from cowardice defend them, from lethargy away, forth on thy errand send,
Thanks for humoring me. If anyone has a tissue, that'd be pretty good. They could give to me. That would be handy. Thanks, Abraham. Now you don't have to give to me after service because you always see me wiping my nose. This song, sorry, I left my clicker down there. This song is brutally convicting. Just in this first verse where they talk about our slothfulness or the things that hold us back, It is really just such a strong reminder that, you know, we laze through life forgetting what Jesus has done for us, not letting us impact our lives, not inspiring us forward. But then when we look, if we really look at this world around us, wouldn't our hearts be moved to compassion? This was written because people had a heart for China. And nowadays, you kind of laugh at it when we see someone who's English and they say, oh, I have a heart for China, and you think, yeah, Chinese women. And we kind of, it's true, and we kind of discard it, and we feel like it's just so bad. But there's this heart for God's message to be given to the world that we don't have, do we? That we've lost, that somehow we just think it's someone else's responsibility, that somehow we can just fob it off to some other person. But it's not. It's our responsibility. The line, unnumbered souls are dying and pass into the night. This verse. For them, it's not just, oh, we do the work and we bear the fruit. It's this idea that this torch is just being passed on and on from us to another generation, to other people, and we all have this passion for the name of Jesus to be glorified, to be worshipped, to be adored, to have that transforming people's lives. We are fired by this ambition. Above everything else that we do in life, our biggest ambition, our biggest glory is God, your name. Your name be lifted up. And for me, who's just a little pastor out here in the UK, this idea that it's actually God who sustains. God who sustains these missionaries, who sustains me today, sustain all of us in this call, in this heart for this gospel. Wake us up from our lethargy, from our sleep. Stir us up from our cowardice. That somehow we think what people think of us is more influential than what God thinks of us. Where we succumb so much to the way this world works that we don't stand up for anything. Like, that's not what God has called us to be or called us to do. I want to look at this passage today, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 38. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And this is a common missions conference, missions weekend passage, because it says the laborers, you know, are few. So send out laborers. But I wanted us to go through this whole passage kind of bit by bit, this first part. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. You know, our theme this year is His Kingdom Come, and it's the idea that we are part of proclaiming this gospel of the kingdom. And there's three verbs here that kind of stand out: proclaiming, teaching, proclaiming, and healing. We should be doing this, right? Actively. This process of proclaiming Jesus, proclaiming with our mouth, actually telling people about who he is, or inviting them to church, or saying, you know, do you know who Jesus is? I was convicted because sometimes I will say to someone, oh, I will pray for you. I think that's great. It's great to tell someone I'll pray for them. But I realized, oh, but I could just be praying to any God. The word prayer means anything. Maybe I should say, I'll ask Jesus to help you. Let me talk to my Father in heaven. In other words, everything we should be doing is saying, how do we share the truth of who God is a little bit more? But why? But why should we do this? It's because it's true and it's powerful and it's life-changing. This second part, when it talks about healing, and when we think about healing, it says healing every disease and every affliction. For us, when we think of healing, we normally just think of disease or illness. What caught my eye here is every affliction. Every affliction suddenly turns into not just diseases, but actually all the things when you look around and you see that people are afflicted. They are hurt emotionally. They are wounded. They are frustrated. The man is keeping them down. The system is rigged. There's this affliction from all sides. And yet, when you know Jesus, when he is the center of your identity, these afflictions, they don't weigh the same as they do to the normal people. Jesus sets us free from that. You know how awesome it is to have the hope of heaven? To have a hope that Jesus is with us? To have the knowledge that his Holy Spirit empowers us to get through each day, but not just for ourselves, but to bring more purpose into life? Jesus is going around and he's teaching in different cities and villages. And he's proclaiming, look, this is the truth about the kingdom. I want to teach you the truth about it. I want to tell you about it. And then I want to demonstrate that truth to you. Proclaim, teach, demonstrate. In our everyday, we should be doing at least one of those. Are you demonstrating the kingdom of heaven? And I'm not going to say about your work or your school. Are you demonstrating the kingdom of heaven in your commute? When you're on the bus? When you're eating in a restaurant? When you're walking through town? When you're with your friends hanging out in a room? Are you demonstrating the kingdom of heaven? Are there opportunities where you're saying, actually, I am teaching the kingdom of heaven. I am proclaiming that. Because we have to. And you won't get better at it until you start trying. And it kind of leads into this next sentence in this part where it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. When we become so busy with things, with our schedules, with our time, it becomes very difficult for there to be space for compassion. Do you know why? Compassion takes time. Compassion takes energy and effort. And not just physical time, compassion takes emotional energy and investment. It's a lot easier to not be compassionate, I tell you. It's a lot easier to be stone cold and just be like, well, just deal with it. But compassion is an annoying thing because it's like, oh, I feel for you the same way you are feeling. And I'm there with you. I'm not in the same place because I'm not you, but I feel and I just want to be there for you. And that is hard. And yet, time and time again, when you look at the example of Jesus, see, we want all the good stuff from Jesus, but we don't want to see what his life is like. Jesus is constantly filled with compassion. Now, my first question is, whenever I'm filled with compassion, is do I have the time for this compassion or do I need to be someplace else? And I always want to say I have to be someplace else because there's always someplace else I'd rather be. But Jesus, in that compassion, makes that space. And he says, I am the God of time, so I will let this compassion run its course to minister. It's never indefinite. If you notice, Jesus is never filled with compassion and stuck with one person for like 7 weeks. Maybe he had to be, but in this case, you always see like there's a point when as you follow the compassion of Christ and you minister to someone, there is at least some point where there is shepherding, where they are no longer feeling helpless or harassed. And they might need more compassion later, but it's not interminable. When you are bringing the Spirit of God into this situation, you are helping and bringing them to Christ for Him to minister and impact their lives. It's up to us to take those opportunities and say, my heart is open in compassion, so I will minister to them. This part about, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. Do you know people in your life who are harassed and helpless? Actually, are you yourself that person who feels harassed and helpless? Do you feel like whatever happens in this world seems to be against you, that you're always being attacked? If you're that person, if you feel like that's who I am, then what you need to do is say, God, I need you to minister. And I'm telling you, if you are that person, what you really want is, I wish someone would come and pray for me to bring me to God because I am harassed and helpless and I don't know where the shepherd is. And I need that person. The good news is you're in church. So you can actually say, and we'll have some time later just to pray, can you pray for me? I am harassed and helpless. I don't want to go into details, but that's where I am. The reason this is important, because as God deals with your harassment and the helplessness you feel, He then helps you to move forth and to be a blessing to other people. But if you know people who are harassed and helpless, what are you doing to demonstrate the kingdom of God to them, to teach them, to proclaim, to be with them? And I don't mean if you know someone who is harassed and helpless, say, oh, come, sit down, let me now proclaim the gospel to you. Actually, the starting point is, as Jesus does, just to minister to them, to come alongside them, to heal their affliction, to care for them. Because as that happens, then they start to ask, you know, why do you do this? When someone asks you, why do you do this? It's all so easy. I do it because God loves you. And because God loves you, I love you. And for someone who is afflicted or harassed and helpless, their next question is usually, why would God love me? Why do you love me? Oh, and then it's like, oh, so easy. Let's just keep going from there. Let me tell you. It unfolds when this happens. But most of us, we don't get that chance. Actually, it's not that we don't get the chances, we don't take the chances. There are people in all of our lives that we know desperately need to know who Jesus is. And we are either blind to it, or we just want to say it's someone else's problem. Do you really want the government to be the one to come up with some legislation to deal with every person? Or do you believe that as a citizen of heaven, Christ has called you to be responsible for your neighbor, to love your neighbor, to love God? We can't just sit on the sidelines waiting for someone else to do something. If you really want to be alive in Christ, you have to take those steps of faith. You have to let your heart be filled with compassion. And I know all the common things. Oh, I don't know enough. Oh, I have my own issues. But I'm the harassed and helpless one. Okay, fine. Then let's deal with that. But what you can offer now, then give. Give that to God. And then Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And more often than not, what we think at this point is, because we've heard all the mission messages, oh, this is about giving money to send people far away. So that's where the harvest is, and that's where the laborers are. If you think that the UK is still a Christian country, then you are sorely mistaken. If you think that this country has enough laborers to go out into the fields here, then you're also wrong. This country needs every good Christian it can get. there is actually a really bountiful harvest, actually. God is saying, look, lots of people want to know who Jesus is, but nobody's telling them. Lots of people are harassed and helpless and lost, but no one's helping them. So what can we do? What can you do? You know, we have we all have people that we care about that aren't believers, that we wish they were, right? And the heart, and we always say to ourselves, oh, if only I lived closer to them, maybe I would be able to spend time and share the gospel with them. Or, you know, I'm thinking maybe I should just move back home so that I could tell them about, you know, Jesus. And then you know what happens is, and more often than not, the people who do that, they move back or they go back to their families and they try to share the gospel. They don't spend any more time really doing that. I think the first few months, they're really gung-ho about being loving, and after that, it just goes back into the normal kind of routine. But have you ever thought that there are people here that someone is praying for? They're saying, God, I cannot be there for my family, but they're living here in Birmingham. God, will you just send someone to be able to share the gospel, to be the good news to them, because I can't be there. Lord, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Can you send a laborer there to help? Have you ever thought that maybe you are that laborer? That someone has been praying for someone in your workplace, in your school, to know who Jesus is, but the Christians there are never engaging in that. You're never part of that. Because I know, because we're always praying for our relatives back home, fans are always praying for her relatives in San Francisco. And it's getting to the point where we start realizing, actually, we just have to pray for other Christians in San Francisco to be a blessing to them in their workplace, because we don't know how they're going to get to church. So God, we are just praying, God, will you send laborers to them? But we are also those laborers here to share, to not be filled with cowardice, to not be dictated by just our routines and our schedules, but to say, okay, God, maybe. And I tell you, it gets harder and harder the older you get and the more responsibilities you have to try to find time for anything else. I know, because, you know, as soon as you have kids, you're trying to juggle them, your work, other people's expectations. How, God? And then when we hear these, we say, okay, God, maybe I have to adjust my schedule, and maybe you do. But actually, what I found is maybe you just have to be better at listening, because there are a lot of spaces in your day where God wants you to work in your schedule, but you just don't know it. You just don't hear it. I think work is a particularly difficult place, because everybody knows when you get to work, you switch on your work brain and your work attitude and your work behavior. And it's really hard. It's almost like you're a different person for a bit. You have that work mode. How can you be a Christian and yet still be in work mode? Figure that out. Because the sooner you learn how to do that, the more God, his purpose for giving you that work can be released. But the longer you stay in work mode and just say, that's just my work mode, work life, the bigger there'll be a dichotomy between who God desires you to be and where you are. It's funny, because it's the same as when you're a student. There's student life, and then there's Sundays. And we remember what it was like when we were younger, and this is your student world, and you say, oh, it's so hard to be a Christian at school, and at the same time, I feel like I'm only a Sunday Christian. Well, I think we don't realize we working people, we are the same. We just think we're no better because we're older. But we still haven't figured it out. How do we become so sure in who we are that everywhere we are reflecting Christ? If you are struggling in your friendship groups or in your schools or in your workplace, and you say, you're right, I am not really a Christian when I'm with these people. You have to say, well, God, why am I not able to demonstrate or proclaim your truth to this place? What is holding me back? And I would guess most of the time it is faith. You do not believe God can or will or wants you to. And the second part is obedience. Actually doing it. There are multiple opportunities all the time, whether you're in the supermarket, whether you're buying something from Greg's, whether you've decided to eat lunch on your own because you want to eat it quickly and you don't want to bother with anyone else. There are spaces and pockets throughout the day. Start with those. I'm not saying throw out your entire work schedule just so you can find some time, but start with the pockets that you have that you know are in between spaces, in between times, dead spaces, bus rides, waiting outside the bus, in the bus stop. And I know what you're thinking. Bert, I don't want to be that annoying person. I know what those people are like. They're the people who talk to me on the bus. I'm the person who doesn't want anyone to talk to me on the bus. That's why I bring my headphones. Okay, fine. Go ahead, just be that way then. See if I care. Look, I am that person. I'm the person who sits in the back of class because I do not want to interact with everybody. But more and more, I'm realizing that there is an unfinished task here on earth. And most of the time I'm doing it because I'm selfish and lazy, and that's why I'm not doing anything. I'm too scared. So I was in the Apple store this week. This is my birthday. And I was in the Apple store, and that's where I go when I'm feeling low. No, and I was talking to this guy, and he starts, they're always, it's easy because I sound like an American, because I am one. And they would say, oh, where are you from? Because I could be from Canada, right? So they don't want to offend. So I say, I'm from America. Oh, and then they start talking. And then he starts telling me about, it's like very obscure. You know, it's like, it's still a, I'm selling you, I'm trying to sell you something conversation. But then he's like, oh, yeah, if you've been to America, oh, you know, I have some health issues. And part of me was like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to probe into his health issues because he would just say, right? And at some point I just said, oh, whatever. What health issues do you have? And he just tells me. I'm like, oh, okay, so you know, those are manageable. And then we start talking. And he goes, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor. And he's like, oh, you're a pastor. Wow. Well, I think there's a guy who works here who comes to my church. You should come to church with him. It's Ken. Yes, Ken comes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. Oh. And by the end, I'm like, yeah. He's like, he says, oh, can I have your email address? I said, yeah, you should come to church. You really come to church with Ken one of these days. And he was like, oh, yeah, I think I might. In other words, it's okay to press a little bit the wonder and glory of God, to share that to people around you. It's not okay to hide the glory of God and his love and his truth. And keep it for yourself. That's not okay. Somehow we've gotten to the point where we think, no, it is okay for us to just do that. Keep it to ourselves. You don't take a lamp and hide it under a bed, do you? That's not right. God has made it so that we should desire to share that out. If you really want to have life, you've got to start learning how to do this. Because it suddenly moves away from being selfish. It makes you have to have confidence in God, not just in your own ability. But through that, God begins to minister to you to say, yep, look how much I can do. And then your love and your relationship with him grows deeper and stronger. And then you're facing new challenges. But you know that God is there with you. But we're too busy holding back. I want us to do something a little bit practical, and just as we lead into worship, I want us actually to spend time praying for one another during the second worship set. Like, really praying for one another and walk around. Some of you guys who've been to like conferences, you know what it's like. It's called ministry time where you actually pray and minister to each other. If you know that you are harassed, you feel harassed and helpless, then you're saying, you know, that's where I am. I am harassed and helpless, and I need you. I need God. Can you pray for me? But for the rest of us, or others of us, I want us to think about this. Think of someone that really needs Christ. Someone that needs Jesus. Like their name, where they live, who they are. Think of them. They need truth, or they need healing, or they need freedom. And as we pray together, it's not by yourself, but it's doing what Jesus said. Pray and ask God to send out workers to the harvest. You gather with some other person and say, you know, can you pray for my dad who's maybe in Malaysia, who's really old, who hates God, but needs him more than anything. Can you pray that God sends workers out to him? Please. To actually get together with someone and actually just pray for this. The second thing, if you have time, if you can think about this, think about a group of people in the city who are helpless and harassed. Okay, I know the first thing that always comes into our mind is homeless. But there are lots of groups in the city who are harassed and helpless, who are marginalized. Those who suffer or struggle with disabilities. Those who are unemployed, it's very difficult. You don't know what to do. Those who have fear and anxiety that keep them from living. Different races feel harassed. And saying, you know, God, actually, can you break through? Can you minister in those places? And the last thing just to be thinking about in this time of prayer is, you know, who will proclaim, who will speak, who will give? Ask the Lord of the harvest to fill your heart with compassion. God, use me, send me. There's no point for us to even bother trying to buy a new church building if we're not going to be people who really love God, who are really eager for his name to be glorified across the city. That's what it's about. We want a bigger building just because we want more place, more space for God's work to be done. God, we want your name to be glorified. So I invite the worship team to come up. And I'll lead us in a time of prayer. And then as we start singing, I encourage you just to start grabbing the people next to you, getting up to someone you know you want to pray with and say, you know, can I pray for you? Let me pray for, you know, who is it on your heart that you want God to send out someone to you. Shall we pray? You know, Father, we hold so much stuff back. I mean, your goodness and your light and your glory, we hold it back and we don't share it with the people around us. God, first, can you teach us how to be your disciples every day, in every situation, in every place? Can you take away our fear or anxieties. Instead, fill us with your courage and your boldness. But secondly, Lord, I know there are a lot of us here who feel that we need your healing, that we are afflicted, that we feel helpless, we feel harassed. God, then heal, minister to them, to us. Let us cry out for help, for prayer, so that we can continue to support one another, Lord. And know that your faithfulness is above all else. So the Lord, lead us as we come and pray. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray.